Well, good evening. Hope that you've had a good day and been a hot one today. I'd mentioned earlier about how the temp has been so nice this last week or two, and yet this, today made up for it. It definitely feels like Georgia heat, I think that's what we've got to look forward to is some good old Georgia heat. That's right, that's why we live here, used to the south, used to the heat, and I'm thankful. There's some that just had snow a few weeks ago, and so I'm thankful we had some nice cool weather, but yet I just praise the Lord for what He's done. Hope you've had a good afternoon, got you some rest. Hope you've came back to hear from the Lord tonight. I know that we didn't have many on when I walked past the camera a moment ago, and so give a few an opportunity to come on. I've tried to start the camera, give you guys a little bit of time to sign on, get ready to go. And I know there's one thing that's guaranteed is we're going to have difficulties. And all the research that I've done on video streaming and trying to figure this out, it said that even when you have everything right and the way that it's supposed to be set up, expect for it not to work right. Something's going to fail. Something's going to mess up. And I have definitely found that to be the norm. Even tonight, as I was turning on the camera, it was telling me I didn't have the credentials, and that's kind of normal. I'm not freaked out by that anymore. It doesn't make me go into a panic. But when it tells you that you don't have the credentials to start the video, you're going, uh-oh, what do I do now? And so, well, it's just retry. I am getting amazing at pushing buttons on the camera, so. Anyway, well, Jacob's not feeling well tonight. He had showed up for just a little bit, but his sinuses are bothering him, and he went on home. So you're stuck with me. If you would, if you've got a hymn book, turn to page 162, to God Be the Glory. Don't sing it a whole lot. I love this song. I really believe that we need to sing it more often. I believe that we need to sing it personally more often, not necessarily as a congregation, but we should be giving God glory in everything. I know I was just kind of grumbling about the heat, but may I tell you, He's worthy to be praised in everything, in every aspect of our life. He definitely should get the glory. And so I'd ask you, let's stand as we sing this first verse, and we'll get started here. To God be the glory, page 162. To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. On that last verse. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder and transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day. I thank You for the opportunity to come to Your house, Lord, that we can worship You, praise You for Your goodness and Your glory. And Father, I pray that You'd meet with us tonight. I do pray You'd be with Jacob, help him to feel better, Lord. I pray, Father, as well, that You would just speak to us through Your word. And Father, encourage as only You can. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Turn to page 145. 145. This song has been on my heart all week long. I think it'd be a good one to sing. I was going to sing it Wednesday night, and I just didn't. And I guess I saved it for tonight. I didn't know I was leading songs tonight, but I guess I saved it for tonight. We're going to attempt all four verses. I need more of a voice to preach than I do to sing, so bear with me. Here we go. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Third verse. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. I want to sing that third verse again. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Boy, I could just sing. I could sing that second and third verse. Actually, I could just sing this whole song. I think about how great it is. Each verse tells such truth about our lives. We have absolutely nothing. Boy, I think about verse 1. The song speaks about us and coming to that place where we've been taught to say it as well. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter what the sea of life has on it. Boy, I'm thankful that God's still at the throne. I'm thankful He's still at the helm. I'm thankful He's still in control. I know He's directing the ship, and it is well wherever He leads, wherever He guides. And I'm thankful, even though Satan's tried to discourage and Satan's tried to destroy and Satan's tried to just distract us from serving the Lord, I'm thankful that God's still victorious. I'm thankful that Christ has seen my helpless estate and He's just shed His own blood for my soul. And then He took that blood and He shed it on Calvary and He's made it to where it's an atonement for sin. And it's not just a covering in the Old Testament atonement, but instead it's an atonement. It's a one-ment with God. We've been brought back and redeemed to the Father through the Son. Oh boy, I get so blessed in the fact that we have nothing to complain about. We have nothing to worry about. We have nothing to get upset about. We can just say that it is well with my soul. Turn right over to page 146 there. We'll just put it all in next page here. We'll sing 146 as well, a shelter in the time of storm. Amen. Page 146, I'll even let you stay seated if you'd like. If you're at the house and you want to stand up, I don't care. You can do jumping jacks when you sing. You want to talk about exercise here. It's more than love lifted me. Amen. 146, right across the page there, a shelter in the time of storm. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Third verse. The raging storms may round us beat, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. O rock divine, O refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be Thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. O Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. O Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Amen. I do want to remind you, we'll have our men's meeting on Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, here at the church. We'll get together and discuss a few things. I really encourage you. Be a blessing to have you come, and look forward to seeing everyone that's able to come. And just got a few things we need to discuss, some directions that we need to look at and discuss as we get ready to hopefully be able to make progress towards coming back to church. I know that it's gonna be what I preach against, to be honest with you. I usually preach against just sampling the water and jumping back, just go ahead and just jump back in. And I think it's funny, Sister Sarah and Jeremiah had went swimming yesterday, and the water is really cold there in the pool, and she told Jeremiah, she said, the best thing to do is just jump in. I watch people that get saved, and they want to test the waters, and they just want to stick their toe in and see if they're going to be comfortable with it. And listen, the flesh is never going to be comfortable with the spiritual things, and so I always promote that you just jump right in. And crucify that flesh, just jump in and get going, and God will get the glory for it. But I don't know that that's wise. I was reading a prayer letter from Brother Christensen this afternoon, and he was talking about a young lady that had been saved 12 years ago. And she had gotten saved, very odd testimony. I'm not going to air it over the internet, but very odd testimony in how God worked, but yet a very sound testimony in how she saved. And she has a Bible and able, but yet she's in an area where she can't really profess it and can't really live it, but yet I'm thankful she found the God. And he was talking about that may God use this time for churches to realize that it's more than something that we do. It's more than just something we do in going to church. In fact, it's a life that we live. And he said that, you know, it would be great if God would use this time to teach us that it's more than something we do, and we would be stronger for it when we are able to all come back together. And so I encourage you, don't quit living for the Lord. In fact, now's the time that we live the hardest and the strongest for Him. I remember that our forefathers in America did not have the liberty. And I know you're going to say, preacher, America's a home of the free, and boy, we had religious freedom. Not at the first. In fact, if you would think about Massachusetts, the only ones that had religious freedom was the Puritans. In fact, Roger Williams was exiled and going to be banished back to England because he came out of the Puritans there in Massachusetts. But he came out of that Puritan church and did not want to be part of it, said that that's not right, that's not biblical teaching. And he was a Baptist and started the First Baptist Church of America in Rhode Island. That was a country that was not a state that was not taken from the Indians, but instead purchased from the Indians. And it was, I guess maybe that's why it was the smallest state. It was the only state at that time to not have slavery, because it never had slavery. And it was free, and religious freedom was there. And so I realized that not everyone throughout our histories had the freedom to come to church. And so moms and dads had to be the leadership. Maybe it's time that if you're relying on me to be able to be the one to feed you. I remember there was a family that had came years ago that had told me they were spiritually starving. Well, I would be too. They came at once a month, and it was kind of hit and miss at that. And so, yeah, I'm telling you, you would have been spiritually starving from anyone. And maybe it's time that moms and dads do a Bible study at the house. Maybe it's time that moms and dads pick up their Bible and get faithful in reading and be able to give your children some meat that they can eat besides what's set down on the dinner plate. That's free. That's not in my notes tonight, but I do think that it could do you some good. Take your Bibles, go back to the book of Psalm, chapter number 63. Psalm 63, I want us to pick back up in verse number 1. Don't be worried, we are going to read this whole chapter, but it's only 11 verses, so it's more Bible reading than some people have in a week, but I'm going to give it to you tonight. So you're going to start your week off right. Once again, I encourage you to read two chapters of the book of Psalms a day, a chapter of the book of Proverbs a day, and then I do encourage you to read somewhere else and be faithful in it and let God speak to you through it. Psalm chapter 63, if you're there and able, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to read this whole chapter here. I know I only preached the first few verses this morning, I believe I'll get most of the rest of it tonight. In verse number 1 of Psalm 63, the Bible says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I was just thinking about that this afternoon. I'm going to bless You, or bless Thee while I live. In fact, He had already said that His loving kindness was better than life. And so that life that He's living is better than what it could have ever been. And He said that that life that I live, I'm going to bless You with it. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. Look at verse 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. Verse 10, they shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. It is a blessing to be here tonight, Lord, to be able to sing the songs of Zion to You, to just praise You for who You are, what You've done, Lord. The part that You have in my life, Lord, I can truly say that it's better than life. Lord, I wouldn't know happiness without You. And I know that we always teach that happiness is not about the Lord, it's about joyfulness. But Lord, truly, I would be a miserable man. I couldn't not only be joyful, but I couldn't be happy. Lord, I couldn't be content. I couldn't be satisfied. And Lord, I pray tonight as we look at Your Word, Father, that You would just teach Your truths in such a real way, such a simple way that we can understand it. Lord, I'm not trying to belittle anyone out there, but I believe that we really are simple people. We don't need to have it so complex and so wrapped around. I think about Solomon, as he had written down and penned down the book of Proverbs, Lord. He was preaching, teaching his children while they were simple. And Lord, we need to get back to that simple life. We need to get back to that place where it's without folds and without creases and without tanglements. Lord, would You help us tonight to just see Your Word simply. And Lord, that we would just take it for face value and we would apply it to our lives. And Lord, that we would be joyful in You. I think about the psalmist here as he pins this down and he's able to say that Your loving kindness is better than life. Lord, that we would walk away from here saying the very same thing. And Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We come to this passage of Scripture, and I really just want to brag on the Lord tonight. That's really what this is about. And so I guess if you're out there in YouTube land and you say, well, I want to hear something besides this, I really need some meat and potatoes about it. I'm sorry if you don't want me to brag about the Lord. Maybe you just go ahead and push the off button. And I know you're going to say, preacher, I can't believe you'd say that and encourage someone to do that. But you know, the problem is today is we really don't recognize God for how good He is to us. In everything that we have, I think about the book of James teaches us that every good thing comes from above. God looks down and He gives us everything we could possibly need. I remember as a child, I never once thought about what I might need. My mom and dad had it, and as I grew up, they would provide it, and I didn't think about the electric bill, and I didn't think about the water bill, and I didn't think about all of these things. And may I tell you, it's the very same thing in my family. Even my 21-year-old, as he's out there and he works a job now, you know, he don't necessarily think about the water bill and think about the electric bill and think about the mortgage and all these things that's got to be done in there at the house. Jeremiah has not once asked me. He loves chicken nugget or the chicken I guess they're chicken nuggets at Chick-fil-A. And boy, if there's anywhere we can go and eat, that's the place. You can find us at any Chick-fil-A drive-thru at any given time. And we're going to get waffle fries. He's going to get the chicken nugget for the kids, and he's going to get a Dr. Pepe. And boy, one of those things. You know, he's never once asked me, "Dad, how much is it?" Why? Because he expects Dad to pay for it. And boy, I'm telling you, God has just provided me this life, and he's given me this. And I look here, and this psalmist, David here, is just praising the Lord for what he's done and how good he is. And may I tell you, we're an undeserving people, yet God still gives. In fact, I think about how good God is in providing that unspeakable gift. And we do have a reason to praise him. I look just at this passage of Scripture in chapter 63 and verse number 2. We find it's because we've seen the glory of God. We've seen the power of God. In verse number 3, the psalmist cries out here. He says, "Because thy loving kindness is better than life." He goes on and he says that I'm going to bless you in verse number 4. But look on over into verse 5. He says that my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. On into verse number 7, he says, "I have a reason to praise you because you're my help." In verse number 8, he says that "I have a reason to praise you because of your hand." He says that he holds us up by his right hand. In verse number 9, "I have a reason to praise you because of the deliverance that you've continued to provide." "I have a reason to praise you" in verse number 10 because of the glory. I'm sorry, in verse number 11, because of the glory of God. And so I begin to meditate on how good God is, and this thought of better than life just kind of stuck out in my meditation. And as I began to pray and ask God to reveal to me, may I tell you how much God's made it better than when the psalmist knew? I'd like you to take over to the book of Hebrews. And I'd like to show you 12 betters in the book of Hebrews. 12 betters in the book of Hebrews. Now, this is just introduction. I'm going to go back to Psalm 63, so hold it there. But I want to show you the book of Hebrews. And may I tell you that David didn't know anything about this, but we do. May I tell you that David didn't have a clue how good it was really going to be, how much better it was going to be than life. But we do. And so, if you remember the number 12 that I gave you this morning, I know Hebrews is written to the Hebrew believers or the Jewish believers of that time, and signifying Israel. But if you would remember, I showed you that it also represents the power and authority of God. He had the power and the authority to make life better. In Hebrews, we find these 12 betters. If you're writing these down, just kind of jot them in a list, because don't dare try to write the verses, because you'll get lost. You're going to get behind. In Hebrews chapter number 1, verse number 4, and I will give these to you in chronological order. In verse number 4, the Bible says, "Being made so much better than the angels." Boy, I'm thankful. I watch all these people that they want an angel worship, and I'm thankful for angels. I am. I believe in them. I'm thankful for them. I know that God has sent ministering spirits to minister to us, and I'm thankful for them, but I'm thankful that God Himself is better than angels. And He says here, "Being made so much better than angels, as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Boy, there's nothing better than the name of Jesus. And the psalmist said that, "I lift my hands in thy name," in verse number 4. And so I think about a better name than angels. Better than the angels. Go on over into chapter number 6. Look at verse number 9. Chapter 6 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." May I tell you that there's better things in salvation than most people are ever going to know. There's better things in salvation, because salvation's the beginning. Salvation's the starting point. Salvation's when I can go back and I have that birth certificate. You say, preacher, how do you have a birth certificate? Because my name was written down in heaven. And there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Boy, I'm thankful for that day when I trusted Christ. And I've got better things because I'm saved. Because now I have a heavenly Father. I am heir to the Son. And I have a home in heaven. Notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse 7. Hebrews 7, look at verse 7. It says, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. You say, preacher, what's that better speaking about? Well, it's speaking about Christ. But it's the less that I want you to see. The less is blessed by the better. Boy, I have a better blessing because God's blessing me. Now look as well, I find in verse number 19 of that same chapter, chapter 7, verse number 19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Boy, I'm thankful for that better hope. You know, it breaks my heart. I got a letter in the mail, and I know this is on YouTube. I really don't care a whole lot. I got a letter in the mail because they're not able to go out door to door. And I got a letter from a lady who's a Jehovah's Witness. And she had some stuff on there that I wasn't going to read and I wasn't going to read and do. And Sister Sarah had asked me, I wonder how or why or what. And I said, you know, it's sad when you're trying to work your way to heaven. You know, I have a better hope than me. I have a better hope than what I can do. I have a better hope than trusting in what a man tells me. I have a better hope because I have a better than life Savior. And so I look as well in verse number 22. In verse number 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. You say, preacher, what's a testament? It's a covenant. We think about the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Testament, the New Covenant. May I tell you that we have a surety? You say, preacher, what's a surety? It means that He's put His name on it. He's the one that's co-signed for it. He's the one that said, I've paid it all. He's the one that said that it's all on me. He's the one that said that it doesn't rely any on you. And we have a better hope, but then we have a better testament because it's all on Him. Now look as well, I find in chapter number 8, in verse number 6, it says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, still speaking about that New Testament, which was established upon better promises. Boy, I'm telling you, with a better covenant comes better promises. You say, preacher, they got that promised land and it was promised to filled with milk and honey. Boy, I tell you, I wasn't promised a land. I was promised a person. You see, I didn't have a promised land to walk into. And I know you're going to say, preacher, we got heaven to walk into. No, hold on a second. The Old Testament promised land, that Canaan land, was a picture of the victorious life that the child of God can have. And it's only going to be because I have the better promise that the Bible teaches us in John chapter number 15 that we can abide in Him and He abide in us. And boy, with that, I can have much fruit. Boy, I'm excited in the fact that I've got better promises because I have a better-than-life Savior. Now look as well, look at chapter 9. Look at verse 23. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 23, I told you I thought I'd get to the rest of this message. I don't know, I might just preach Hebrews to you tonight. It was therefore necessary, in verse number 23 of Hebrews chapter 9, that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. You say, preacher, what was that sacrifice? The blood of Jesus Christ. It's a better sacrifice. If we were to read Hebrews chapter number 9, we'd find how it was such a better sacrifice. We had the blood of bulls and goats. That high priest had to go in once a year. He had to offer himself. he had had to offer the sacrifice for himself first and then for the sins of the people. Boy, I'm thankful I have a high priest that he came with his own blood because he was spotless. He didn't need to offer that sacrifice for himself. He was without sin. He died for our sin. And so we have a better Savior. We have a better sacrifice. We have a better high priest. Go to chapter 10 and verse number 34. Hebrews 10 and verse number 34. In Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 34, the Bible says, "For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and more and enduring substance." A better and enduring substance in heaven. Boy, I'm thankful we have a better hope as we look at the treasures that are in heaven. A better substance in heaven. Boy, I'm telling you, there's no thief that can break in. There's no moth that can destroy. There's no rust that can corrupt. Everything that's in heaven that's set aside, those treasures that are in heaven for us. Boy, I think about the treasure of my Savior, but then I think about the treasure of my children. I've got a child in heaven. I've got a brother in heaven. I've got grandparents in heaven. Boy, I tell you, I'm thankful that they're secure there. There's a better substance awaiting for me in heaven. I look as well in chapter number 11. Look at verse 16. Chapter 11 and verse number 16. The Bible says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city." Oh, listen. Oh, Abraham was looking for a land. Abraham was looking for a city in verse number 10, and I know this isn't, you don't have to write it down. This isn't one of the betters, but it describes what he was looking for. He looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And then in verse 16 it said, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly." You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Oh, heaven was not, I'm sorry, this earth was not his home. He was just a passing through. He was ready to move on. Oh, you say, "Preacher, the promised seed hadn't came yet. Oh, the promises of life hadn't came yet." Oh, it really didn't matter. His eyes were focused on that city whose foundations were set by God. God had already established it. God had already designed it. Oh, my dear friend, we need to be pilgrims again. We need to come to that place. You know why life gets us so wrapped up? Because heaven isn't our home. We've got too many holds here on earth. And so I look here at chapter number 11, look at verse number 35. Chapter 11, verse number 35. The Bible tells us here that women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about? What's so great about dying for the Lord?" Oh, listen to me. Death isn't going to have a hold on me. I'm not going to stay dead. I've already told you before that Sarah has the option of putting two things on my gravestone. She can either put, "I told them I was sick," or she can put, "Graduated to glory." You see, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm thankful I don't have to grieve and whine and moan about death is a coming. No. Listen, when we leave this earth, my old body's going to stay here, but I'm going to be with the King. I'm going to get to worship Him at the throne. I look as well at chapter number 11, verse number 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God having provided some better thing for us, speaking about all those with faith. Look on down and look back at verse number 39 to kind of give us the context. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. But us, notice this. Remember I told you that David didn't know the half of it? David didn't. He said that thy loving kindness is better than life. He didn't see a Savior on the cross. He just knew He was coming. We look back at the cross and see what Jesus had paid. May I tell you, His loving kindness is better than life because of what He's done for us. Oh, they trusted. They followed. They did all of this and didn't even know what He was going to do for them. But yet, He's provided some better things for us. Look at chapter 12. Look at verse 24. Chapter 12 and verse number 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Abel's blood spoke, but Abel's blood stayed there. Jesus' blood saves. Oh, I'm telling you, it's better than life today. I know you'd say, preacher, I just don't know how I'm going to do it. I just don't know what it's going to be. I don't know what's going to happen. And yes, listen, I don't know that church will ever go back to what we knew. I don't know. Because Jonathan sends me updates on murder hornets probably 2-3 times a day. He has just gotten such a giggle out of murder hornets, it's not even funny. But, you know, they're going to find something else. There's going to be something else. We are in those days. And I don't want it to be that this is what we have, or even a drive-in service, or even we've got split times and so many people and so much disinfecting and the Clorox aisle is always empty. I don't want that to be the norm. But I don't know what the norm's going to be. But I'm telling you, I have a Savior that's better than life. Look over in Psalm 63. I want to show you three areas of David's life that God made better because he was in it. And I want to show you that these are the same areas in our life that God will make better because He's in it. Now, you don't have to. You know, it's funny to me. I always laugh at Pharaoh in the book of Exodus as Moses has came to him. And I always think about those frogs. And those frogs that had came, and I don't know how you are about frogs. They don't bother me. We cleaned our shed yesterday. And I didn't see any frogs. Didn't see anything but spiders and spider webs. And you know, I didn't try to just remove the spider webs. I removed the spiders. And they were those, you know, barn spiders. They were the ones that, they got a web that'll stick. I could have probably... I grabbed a ball of it and threw it, and it still would have stuck on the wall. I don't know. They were just, I didn't like it. But it's not that it weirded me out. I'm not afraid of spiders, but I can squish them. And I'm not afraid of snakes. I can shoot them. But I don't shoot all snakes, just some of them that I see. But the truth of it is, there were so many frogs, they were even in the ovens. They were just everywhere. And Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, tell me when you want them to leave. And God will have them leave on that time so you know that that's from the Lord. And Pharaoh said, in the morning, let them go another day. Let them, listen. You could have it better right now if you choose. Because this is how God works. The moment He's where He's supposed to be in your life, it's better. Because He's the Savior. Better than life. He said in verse number 4, thy loving kindness. Or I'm sorry, verse number 3, thy loving kindness. Is better than life. Notice, if you would, the three areas of David's life that God made better. First of all, I find that He'll make my satisfaction better. My satisfaction better. I look in verse number 5 and I see the depth of this satisfaction Notice what the psalmist cries out here. He said, my soul shall be satisfied. My soul. I look at the depth of that. May I tell you, this is the innermost part of David. David said that by the time you peel everything away of life, all of the frustration, all of the confusion, all of the heartaches, all of the hurt, everything that's ever happened, when I look down at everything, my soul is satisfied in God. He says that when it's all said and done, I wonder if that's why David was known as a man after God's own heart. Because he was satisfied in the innermost parts of him. I look at the depth of this satisfaction. I look at the description of this satisfaction. May I tell you that he was satisfied with the provisions of God. Notice in verse number 5, he says, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. May I tell you that that speaks about that richness or the best part of the abundance and the richness of God. May I remind you that I have a God that is exceedingly abundant, able to provide everything beyond what I can even imagine. Not only does He know what I need, may I be honest with you? And I know that we preach and we teach that God provides all of our needs, and He does. But may I tell you that sometimes He provides what I want. He even knows what I like. I look here and I think about the marrow and the fatness that David's speaking about. It's above what he really needs. It's more. You know, there was one thing that was interesting about David. When David was confronted with the sin of Bathsheba, Nathan had came to him and even told him that God would have given you more than what He had already given you. May I remind you what God had given him? God had removed the kingdom out of Saul's family and given it to David. God had delivered him time and time again. God had blessed him time and time again. God had favored him time and time again. And God said, I would have given you more. Oh, my friend, what more could God give us than His loving kindness? What more could God give us than Himself? And He says that I'm satisfied with the provisions of God. But then I find as well that He's satisfied with the person of God. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at this. He says, my soul shall be satisfied. May I tell you where God deals? In the innermost parts. May I tell you where God dwells in the innermost parts. David also had pinned down in the book of Psalm chapter number 17 and verse number 15. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I know a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night I had preached about separation and sanctification. I know I took us to areas of the Bible that people don't like. It's amazing to me at how we want to be ourselves and express ourselves. And we're in that culture that everyone cuts themselves and writes all over themselves and pierces themselves and mutilates themselves. And you want this color of hair and that color of hair, and I want to wear this kind of clothes, and I just want to express myself. You know what David said? I'm going to be satisfied when I'm like him. My Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. My Bible says in Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 29 that God has already predestinated that we should be in the image of His Son. And so I wonder why we're not satisfied today, why we need more. He says that my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Why wouldn't we praise Him for what He's done? Why wouldn't we praise Him because I'm satisfied in Him and in His person and who He is? because I want to be like Him. You know, it'd be good for us today to want to imitate Him. I find a whole lot of imitators. It's amazing to me. You tell someone you're a preacher, you tell someone you're faithful to the Lord, and that halo comes out, and you know, you hear the angel choir behind them begin to sing, and they're imitators. They're chameleons. They want to blend in over here in this group and then this crowd and have that mouth and that lifestyle and those habits and those hobbies. And then when they're around someone else that isn't like that, they'll imitate them and they'll begin to imitate and try to pretend. And it's amazing to me. The one that we should be imitating is the one of this book that satisfies. This book isn't outdated. I gave you Hebrews 13 and verse number 8 this morning, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if He's the same, may I tell you His Word's the same. May I tell you that it doesn't need to change for 2020. And so I look and I find that my satisfaction is an area of my life that He'll change and He'll make better than life itself. I find another area in verse number 7. I find my shadow. My shadow. Jeremiah the other day was in the living room and we had a little stepladder in there, and I think he got it out so he could preach. He preaches to Sarah sometimes. She needs it. She's a hard woman to preach to, and so I'm thankful Jeremiah's even stepped up and started preaching at her too. I mean, to her too. And so he had got the step stool and he had set it up. And the way that the light was shining from the living room light, it was casting a shadow behind him. And as he would step up, he would see that shadow would get larger. And may I tell you, my shadow changes. Look at verse number 7. It gets better here than life. In verse number 7, the Bible says, "Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice." I look here and I find the defense of God. When I consider this shadow, when I consider the first part of this, I'm looking here at the protection of God's wings that spread over us. I think about in Jeremiah, that speckled bird that he wanted to be able to overshadow. And boy, the bird, the mother hen would grab the chicks and she would pull them in and they protect them from the enemies and she would protect them from the elements. And may I tell you, that's the defense of God, that as He spreads His wings, we can come under and we can have that defense that God has. And listen, I'm thankful that He says, if God be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter who's against us. It doesn't matter who says we need to change. It doesn't matter who says that they're against God. As long as God's for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. And I think about the deliverance of God when I think about this shadow. As Jeremiah was watching his shadow get larger, as Jeremiah was watching his shadow as he had climbed that little step stool and he had looked behind him and see that it was a bigger shadow, may I tell you that as a child of God and I run under the shadow of God's wings, and I'm able to get under there, it's no longer my shadow that's seen, now it's His. And I think about that deliverance. We would go in David's life here and say, "Preacher, why would he say that there's so much to praise the Lord about and there's so much that God has delivered him from?" Well, I think about the very beginning. In 1 Samuel chapter number 17, David really is getting his growth here from the Lord. In verse number 37, David is speaking to Saul, and he says, David said, "Moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with him, or with thee." May I tell you, he did. God was. God continued to deliver David. He delivered him out of the Philistine Goliath. He delivered him out of many other Philistines. He even delivered him out of Saul's hand. May I tell you that God's delivered me. He's delivered me from sin. He's delivered me from self. He's delivered me from Satan. Oh, Satan can desire to devour me. He can walk around as a roaring lion, just trying to make a commotion, trying to scare me, trying to confuse me, trying to get me to panic. But I'm thankful that I'm underneath the wings of my Savior. I'm thankful that it's better than life when you're under the wings. I remember reading an article several years ago in a Grit magazine, and you say, "Preacher, what's that?" Well, it's like a farm magazine, and it was this man had wrote in about his chickens, and it was a story about his hen. He would sit there in the afternoons and he'd watch his hens as they were out there in the yard, and they were feeding and scratching and pecking, and they were feeding one day, and he noticed a hawk was flying around. This one hen in particular had chicks with her. And, you know, it used to be a bad term to be called a chicken. And I know you're going to say, "Preacher, I thought it was still a bad term for someone to call you a chicken." Well, it changed this man's mind. You see, this chicken, out of instinct, a natural response to the danger, got her chicks close to her. And as that hawk had came down to try to get a chick, she had put her wings out. And she had protected those chicks. And she had came to the place that she was holding those chicks so firmly that that hawk had picked her up and dropped her and thought her to be dead. And yet, when that farmer had walked out into that yard to see if that chicken was still alive, she got up, she let go of her wings, and all of those chicks were still safe, just free in the wings, whoo, of this hen. Oh, my dear friend, the psalmist cries out because he knew the defense of God under the wings of God, but he knew the deliverance of God from the wings of God. I find as well, the third area of David's life that was better than life. And the same thing's true for us, because God is my stabilizer. God is my stabilizer. Look at verse number 8. He says, "My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me." My soul, that same area that's satisfied in thee. My soul, that most inner part of me, followeth hard after thee. I look here and I find that I keep close. This idea of followeth hard means to cling to. It means to be close to, or to keep close. It's funny, with a 4-year-old in the house, and he definitely comes and boy, he will just try to stay on you, and you can run through the house and boy, you're looking to see, and he's right there and he's trying to stay as close as he can to you. Jeremiah and I like to race still in the yard. We'll go and we'll have those little races, and don't worry, Dad doesn't let him win every time. There's sometimes Dad wins, and there's sometimes Jeremiah wins, and boy, we just have a good time with it. You say, "Preacher, what's this all about?" I just picture myself as my son running after his father. And I just want to stay close to him, just wants to stay there. And there's some times Jeremiah will grab a hold of my pocket and he wants to stay right there. And boy, I think about that clinging to. I think about how close we want to be to God. He says, "My soul followeth hard." That hard isn't speaking about rigid and a hard place. It's speaking about clinging to, and boy, I'm just holding to. But may I be honest with you? There's times that we're not always that close. Proverbs 24 and verse number 16, the Bible says, "For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." And I look here and I find that there's no one that knew failing God any better than David. My soul followeth hard after thee. And I know that there's not a conjunction here. In fact, we find this semicolon as a different thought that goes in that same sentence. I follow hard, but there's something missing there. You see, these two go together. They're in the same thought. But he says, thy right hand upholdeth me. Why would he need the right hand of God if he didn't fall? Why would he need the right hand of God if he was able to do it perfectly? And he says, I'm trying to follow hard. I think about, there's a Doyle Lawson song that I've heard, and it says that, I'll help, but you must try. You know what? We've got this idea. I'm just going to pray, and God's going to do everything, and I don't have to crucify the flesh. I don't have to worry about fighting the fight. I'm just going to, if I continue the same practice and I continue the same habits and the same hobbies and the same lifestyle, and God doesn't take it away from me, then that's on Him. No! David said, I follow hard. I'm going to put all that away. I don't want any of that. I'm going to follow after you, but I'm still going to fail. There's still going to be some times I fall short. I'm still a sinner saved by grace. And therefore, my Savior's better than life because He's my stabilizer. Oh, I keep close, but He keeps me closer. This word upholdeth, found in verse number 8, it means to grasp, lay hold of, attain, to hold up, support, to hold, keep, to take hold of each other. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? You don't have to hold your place in the book of Psalm anymore, but I want you to turn over to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I'm going to show you a place where God held David up. In Psalm chapter number 30, David had just came back as he had made he's staying there in the land of the Philistines, running from Saul. And the Philistines are getting ready to go to war against Israel. David's getting ready to take the throne and doesn't even know it. And David is sent back and not made to go into battle against his own nation, Israel. In chapter number 30 and verse number 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. And they slew not any either, great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Look at verse 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. May I tell you, that you don't always fall because of sin. Sometimes you fall because of situations. Sometimes you fall because of stress. Sometimes you fall because of sadness. They had no more power to weep. They had no more power to go. I want to remind you about the men that were with David. They didn't have the greatest reputation, and they were very mighty men. They would have been able to stone him. And David went to the Lord. You know why? Because with thy right hand you upholdeth me. David said, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to fall prey to my enemies. Because with your right hand you uphold me. Oh, I'm thankful that God reaches down today. And He still upholds us. I'm thankful that God reaches in to those places when we think that He's not there. When we think that we're all alone. And we can come and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Oh, my dear friend. I look at this definition, and as I wrote it down today, the last part was to take hold of each other. I can picture as God reaches down with His right hand and lifts us up, that we're able to grab a hold of Him and hold on. I was reminded of Peter in Matthew chapter number 14. Do you think that he didn't hold on to the Lord when God called, when God raised him up out of the water? I don't know that they walked back together. There's many times I think that God just carried him. And I know you're going to say, I thought it was Jesus, that's what I said, when God just carried him back to the ship. Do you think that Peter didn't hold on to him? Jeremiah, come here, Bubba. Come here. I can't pick Jacob up and he's not here. But I can still pick you up. You know, it's an amazing thing when I pick and hold up on Jeremiah. You know what he does? He holds back. I'm not saying he holds back in resistance. No, he holds back because he's holding on too. I think about any position I put him on. You know what he does? He just holds on. The Bible says, with thy right hand, you upholdeth me. Thank you, Bubba. You can go back to Mama. With thy right hand, you upholdeth me. Oh, my dear friend. I'm thankful that I have a Savior that's better than life itself. He's bigger than life itself. But He's sure given me a good life. Better than life. And so the life that I have, I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to lift my hands in His name. I'm going to praise Him for Him Himself and the life that He's given me. I encourage you to do the same. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Lord, I love You. I'm thankful there's been some times in my life where You've definitely shown Yourself real. I have seen Your power and I have seen Your glory. Lord, I pray. Maybe there's one that's within the hearing ability of my voice that they would really come to that place and they understand that they need to be saved. Lord, I pray that they'd call upon You today to see that You're better than life. You're more than life. And Lord, I pray that You would just help us. That we wouldn't be distracted in the turmoils of life, but instead we'd just see how good You are and what a great life You've given. Father, speak to hearts. Comfort as only You can, and we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.